The last virtue of a degenerating population is tolerance.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
What is the most potent force standing against proliferating statism and rampant immorality? It may well be Christian education.
Truth is given by God, not you, not me. Wisdom is demanded of God. Holiness, sanctification, obedience is not optional.
On today's Truths That Transform, we expose concerted efforts to undermine Christian schools, and we share an opportunity to bring about positive change.
I do think we're seeing an increased intensity and hostility against parochial schools, religious schools.
It's all coming up on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. In recent days, we've witnessed numerous left-wing smears and insults directed at Christian schools and educators. At first glance, they may seem unrelated, but they're not. On today's program, you'll discover how Christian education is one of our greatest hopes for preserving ordered liberty, which is precisely why it's under attack. You will meet a man who is successfully standing for truth against liberal postmodernism on the college campus. And we will share a timely opportunity with you to make a tangible difference in restoring America's biblical and constitutional foundations. We begin with a recent series of propaganda attacks against Christian schools, attacks bearing the fingerprints of a nefarious and carefully coordinated effort. Our own John Rabe has more.
Vice President Mike Pence's wife, Karen, has returned to teaching at a Christian school in Virginia where gay students and teachers are not welcomed.
Recently, Karen Pence received heavy criticism for returning to work at a Christian school that holds to the biblical view of marriage and gender. Why the sudden outrage for a school teaching traditional Christian doctrine?
There is a worldview clash that's going on everywhere, and it includes Christian schools, higher education, the church, popular culture, and people who hold traditional values.
I do think we're seeing an increased intensity and hostility against parochial schools, religious schools.
What we saw with Second Lady Karen Pence when she appeared in the news was really an attempt to defame her character and the nature of religious educational institutions.
Mrs. Pence is teaching at Emmanuel Christian School, which bans employees from homosexual relationships and so-called transgender identity, and affirms marriage as a one-man, one-woman lifetime relationship. The media and the left purported to be outraged that a Christian school might adhere to biblical morality and teachings.
The point is that the value of exclusion is embraced here. And our vice president's wife, in the place where she is, it does the same thing.
Karen Pence has taken a part-time job as an art teacher at a school that bans gay and lesbian students and teachers. For real.
Those attacks are horrific, and they deserve to be heavily criticized and denounced. And, you know, here's the thing. Mrs. Pence is a Christian, and she wants to teach at a Christian school. Is it really so far-fetched to think that a Christian teaching at a Christian school would want that school to adhere to Christian values, Christian teaching, Christian belief?
If the Second Lady of the United States is shamed for teaching in a Christian school, it's a way of saying to the rest of America, watch out, we're coming for you. We're going to shame you for standing for these values.
Then there was the case of a group of students from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky as they walked with the March for Life in Washington, D.C.
There is a swirl of opposition And it rolls into everything we do. So we can see it most recently in the case of the kids from the Covington School that were just wearing Make America Great hats again.
The Catholic students were confronted by a far left-wing Native American activist. After selectively edited video went viral, the boys were immediately labeled as racists and bigots by the media and by others on social media. Several celebrities even called for acts of violence against the boys. Then, the full video came out.
New video reveals a more complicated view of an encounter between Kentucky high school students and a Native American elder that triggered nationwide outrage.
As it turns out, the activist was the instigator in the case, and the boys were respectful and peaceful. But though they were exonerated by the full video, the damage had been done as leftists in the media swarmed to characterize the school as a hotbed of Nazi sympathizers.
It's very unfortunate what happened with those kids and the suffering they must have endured because of the negative coverage of what unfolded. And it shows a desire for more for a narrative than for the truth.
They just simply assumed it was an example of hatred and hostility, and it was actually all a ruse. It was all false, and the evidence shows that.
In the days following Covington, a reporter from the New York Times took to Twitter asking for stories about Christian education under the hashtag #ExposeChristianSchools. All of this happened within 1 week's time. Was it a mere coincidence?
Christian schools are right in the crosshairs of the cultural warfare that's going on all sides. The Christian school movement is one of the sources of opposition to the Marxist viewpoint. Marxism believes there's no God. Christianity and its schools teaches there's a triune God. Marxists teach there are no eternal values, and Christianity teaches the Ten Commandments. The Christian school, by and large, represents the classic values of Western civilization. And so, by definition, the Marxist viewpoint is opposed to it.
So if you're a Christian and you desire to raise your children based on Christian principles and to send them to a Christian school, those who disagree with that, they want often to take away that right, that freedom, that choice.
It's perhaps not surprising that the left would want to undermine Christian schools, since a proper understanding of reality from a biblical perspective stands in firm opposition to the entire radical leftist agenda. Nobody knew this better than Dr. D. James Kennedy, and I'm joined now by his daughter and my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad started a Christian school right here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, because of his concern, didn't he?
He sure did. He put his money where his mouth was because he knew how critical Christian education is. Yeah. The Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. My dad understood the implications of that, that it's impossible to truly have wisdom apart from the fear of the true God. And he also knew that we live in a culture that hates the Word of God and that works 24 hours a day to lead people away from it, filling them with false philosophies. It's those philosophies, divorced from God, that have brought us socialism, communism, euthanasia, abortion, violence on our streets, and broken families, among dozens of other social ills. The first requirement of a Christian education is to learn to tell right from wrong and good from evil. But ultimately, if we don't let God define that, we'll make it up for ourselves, which is just what we see happening today. A Christian worldview is threatening to all those who have a vested interest in calling good evil and evil good. My father shares more in this portion of his message, Discerning Good and Evil.
In recent years, we have read and heard a good bit about the fact that we are involved in this country in a culture war. Well, having examined that issue at some depth for many years, I certainly would have to agree with the commentators who put it that way. It is a war. It's a war for the minds and souls and lives of every American. And it has been going on apace and growing in its intensity. It is ultimately a battle of faith against unbelief. And you may hear it described in many other ways, but I want you to remember that's what it really is. It's ultimately a battle for God or against Him. The difference between barbarism and civilization is discrimination. And the ability to discern between the two and to choose the good is what makes civilization. And when that ability is lost or pounded into the mud, as it's being done daily in our schools, eventually the society will degenerate back into the jungle. And that's what's going on in our country today. But it's time for Christians to get out of the bleachers and onto the field and get involved, or there may be laws passed which are going to have consequences that are going to come home to roost right in your family and in your home. And all kinds of pressures to pass those laws are being put upon us all of the time. Consider this. A school administrator says, "It is the mission of public schools not to tolerate intolerance." That's their purpose. Now, they will tolerate people coming in and shooting up the classroom. They will tolerate an epidemic of drugs. They will tolerate alcoholism. They will tolerate promiscuous sex. They will tolerate illegitimate children being born to children. They will tolerate blasphemy of every sort, but they won't tolerate anybody who will not accept all of the views and beliefs and values of everyone else. And also Leslie Amour, a philosopher, professor at University of Ottawa, said, "Our idea of a virtuous citizen." What is your idea of a virtuous citizen? His idea is that it is one who tolerates everything except intolerance. It has historically been held for 4,000 years that a virtuous citizen is a person who believes in God, a person who believes in morality, who disbelieves in immorality and ungodliness, and who lives a life of virtue and morality, and does his best to maintain these things in the society in which he lives. But no longer. This virtuous citizen may be a criminal. He may be a drug addict. He may be an alcoholic. He may be a thief. He may be a pervert. He may be a child molester. He may be any of these things, but as long as he is tolerant and objects to intolerance, he is all right. It has been well said that the last virtue of a degenerating population is tolerance. When people no longer live up to any of the moral values that made society great, the last value they hang on to is tolerance. They demand that everybody tolerate their wickedness, and they will tolerate theirs. The last value of a degenerate society.
As was so often the case, Dr. Kennedy's cultural assessments were often prophetic. What he saw beginning to unfold is now writ large in our media and on college campuses across the nation. Objective truth, God's truth, has been replaced with your truth, my truth, or no truth at all. As a result, everything is up for grabs, from whether we can tell a boy from a girl to whether human beings are inherently valuable. One man standing against that tide is my friend Dr. Everett Piper, the insightful president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. I recently had a chance to talk with him about the need for Christian education and the forces arrayed against it. You have argued that the church had better wake up and support its Christian institutions of education, or there won't be places to send your children to capture that biblical worldview and be animated to respond to the sovereignty of God with a calling to engage the culture. Speak to that a little bit. What does the church need to do to preserve a biblical foundation, quite frankly, in higher education?
The church needs to put its money where its mouth is. The church has to support Christian education, and if it doesn't, we will lose. What is taught today in the classroom will be practiced tomorrow in our culture and in our churches. It's garbage in, garbage out. And if we continue to support secular institutions that are antithetical to a biblical worldview and have animosity toward a biblical worldview and take pride in tearing their kids' heart, mind, and soul out and replacing it with this postmodern mush, if we continue to support that with our dollars, whether they be personal dollars out of our own pocketbooks or whether it be corporate or whether it be estate dollars, we will lose. Because what's taught today in the classroom will be practiced tomorrow in our church. Without that, and without the funding of Christian education, I would argue we are in a world of hurt. Because the ideas that are serving as the foundation for the next generation of leadership in our church and in our culture and in our government and in our corporations are terrible ideas that do not lend themselves to freedom. The colleges and universities today that claim to be Christian, but don't acknowledge the inerrancy of the word, and don't acknowledge the objectivity of truth, and don't acknowledge that God defines life, not Planned Parenthood, and don't acknowledge that marriage is defined by the church and it's not a function of the state. Any college that can't answer those questions rightly is not a college we're sending your kids to, regardless of what their four-color brochure shows. I am president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, not Oklahoma Wesleyan Diversity. We stand for the unity. We stand for the unum, not the pluribus. We stand for unity, not division. We're not going to promote divisiveness. We're going to ask for people to come together in unity in Christ, recognizing that there's unity in veritas, there's unity in the verities, there's unity in the versity, if you will, and we're not going to put second things first. C.S. Lewis told us, when you put first things first, you always get them, but when you put second things first, you get neither second nor first. What we're doing today is preaching diversity, which ultimately leads to division, balkanization, me against you, us against them, rather than recognizing we were founded as universities, not diversities.
When you look at the degradation of our historic Christian institutions, and I'm not just talking academic, I'm talking about the church as well, it seems such a big problem, we don't know what to do about it. What should the average person who wants to stand for truth, what should they do first?
Well, get a spine. Get some courage. Get some conviction. You know, I'm sick and tired of the conversation. If somebody uses that word around me again, I'm just going to scream. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Conversation. Conversation. It's time for us to stop having conversations and start showing conviction and clarity and courage. Why don't we have the confidence to run into the storm, waving the banner of the truth of Christ and the truth of Scripture? And recognizing that if we win waving that banner, great, that's God's grace. But if we lose waving that banner, it doesn't matter. We should still wave the banner and be willing to go down fighting.
Still the right fight.
We as a church need to recognize that there are battles worth fighting.
In an age where truth is twisted like a lump of silly putty, I am grateful for leaders like Everett Piper who boldly stand on the Word of God. Frighteningly, however, there are forces arrayed against Dr. Piper and against us and against all those who would proclaim God's truth. You see, God's truth is the most salient threat to the left agenda of socialism, identity politics, and unfettered sexual license. So they must silence Christians. And in the past, they found liberal judges as willing accomplices. Though the First Amendment guarantees the free exercise of religion, federal courts have placed those rights on a collision course with same-sex marriage. At the same time, militant homosexual activists try to force Christians to comply with and even celebrate their agenda. That's why it's essential to have good judges on the bench who apply the Constitution rather than implementing their own personal policy preferences, something leftists have done successfully for decades. By contrast, President Trump has consistently nominated judges with a firm commitment to the text of the Constitution itself. Yet the confirmations of 60 of these highly qualified constitutionalist judges are currently stalled in the U.S. Senate, with radical left-wing senators obstructing the process for no other reason than that they were nominated by President Trump. With our important First Amendment freedoms hanging in the balance, we have prepared a petition to Senate leaders calling upon them to use their majority to get these judges confirmed immediately. Let them hear from you by signing this urgent petition online at djkm.org/judges. That address again, to sign the petition to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham, calling upon them to move forward with the confirmation of these 60-plus judges, is djkm.org/judges. And we also want to share an important book that we have produced that will help you see more clearly than ever what's at stake here, and to communicate that to others. It's our book, Reclaiming the Lost Legacy, the Founders and the First Amendment. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation for helping us to continue our vital work. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Reclaiming the Lost Legacy features chapters from the works of Dr. Kennedy, Judge Roy Moore, myself, and others. This compelling book explores America's deep heritage of freedom and will remind you why it's worth preserving today. And we'll set forth concrete steps for how we can do it. We will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. We live in a culture where truth is up for grabs. Some even deny the existence of any objective truth whatsoever. We're told that we are each captain of our own ship. Former Justice Anthony Kennedy, in an opinion affirming unrestricted abortion, said that the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. Now, setting aside for a moment that no serious thinker ever said anything like that, really, liberty is defining the meaning of the universe for yourself? This is nothing less than Kennedy's awkward and rather absurd way of saying that he does not believe in the existence of objective truth. But as we've discovered, in actuality, this is the pathway to societal madness and death. A world without objective truth is a world without meaning or purpose. We see the result of this thinking in the tidal wave of depression and hopelessness breaking over our nation. We have a crushing and deadly opioid epidemic, a suicide rate that has skyrocketed 25% since Justice Kennedy penned those words. And every week seems to bring a mindless school shooting perpetrated by the human detritus of Anthony Kennedy's tragic worldview. But truth is rather insistent. You cannot escape its reality no matter how hard you try. We cannot deny gravity by self-identifying as a bird. And we cannot escape God's truth by declaring ourselves to be master of our fate and captain of our own soul. We live in God's world, a world perfectly created but indelibly marred by human sin. As a result of sin, you and I stand guilty before a holy God. But God is merciful and gracious. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to take on our human nature, to live a perfect life, one we were required to live, and to suffer the punishment we deserve for our sin. Jesus willingly gave Himself up to be nailed to a cross and executed in Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago on your behalf. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead, proving Himself to be the Son of God and demonstrating His victory over your sin and His victory over death. Right now, wherever you are at this very moment, you can turn away from your own sin. You can give up being the captain of your own sinking ship. And you can turn to Him in faith, saying, "Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of the living God. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe Your death on the cross was for me. I accept the free gift of eternal life that You purchased for me by Your death and resurrection. Come into my life and make me what You want me to be." Dear friends, that is the truth. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The Apostles' Creed is a marvelous statement. I've chosen it, first of all, because of its universality. It is something which virtually every group of Christians everywhere can agree upon.
Those of us who have a biblical worldview have to recognize now is our time to get in the game.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.